This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's least coherent podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
I'm Adam.
And today's topic is dollars to donuts. Where do you reckon that phrase came from? Is it a transaction?
Yeah. Dollars to donuts? Yeah. Is it an expression?
Yeah, it's a specifically Australian expression because the classic donut hole is the size of a $1 coin.
Is that true?
No!
Oh, man, but it could have
fucking got you. It's apparently a North American expression, so definitely.
Damn it. I just love it because it's like, I bet you dollars to donuts is where it comes in.
What? Why? What does that mean?
I don't know.
You have to explain.
Dollars to donuts, used to emphasize one's certainty. That's all it says.
That helps us not at all. Because the other night, I was talking to my partner and I was like, yeah, man. I was like, dollars to donuts, this is going to be the case. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, as in, I bet you. And then she was like, I don't know what you're saying. And then I realized that sentence is meaningless.
Can I hit you up with some information from the grammarist?
I would love you to.
Yes.
So, classic friend of the show, the grammarist, says, dollars to donuts means something that is certain. The phrase dollars to donuts is an American idiom that originated in the middle 1800s and is mostly seen in American English. The idea behind the shorthand phrase dollars to donuts is the sentiment that the speaker is so confident that he is right about something, he will put, be gender neutral, buddy, he will put forth his dollars against the listener's donuts in a wager.
Sorry.
The dollars having much higher value than the donuts. The idiom dollars to donuts reached its peak popularity in 1915, according to Google's Ngram. Its popularity has fallen off considerably since that time.
But thank you so much, the grammar.
Sorry. That's just buying something.
Yeah, that is all.
That's just buying something below cost.
That's the idea. Yeah. Presumably, they're saying, your donuts are not worth a lot, but I will bet many more dollars than they are worth.
That is such a confusing idiom.
It is.
When have donuts ever been more than... Hang on.
Well, today.
Hang on.
I'm sure I couldn't get a donut for a dollar.
Oh, no, I'm stupid.
I'm sorry, Cass. That really sucks.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I just found out.
Yeah,
dude, look, first of all, let me say I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. When dollar was big back in day. Yeah. Oh, no, it's happened fast.
Dollars are getting bigger.
Dollars!
How expensive must it have been to make a donut if a dollar wouldn't have even covered it?
No, but it's dollars.
Oh my god, it's a series of expressions.
There's
dollars to phrases. Dollars to buttons, dollars to cobwebs.
What?
It apparently features in the 1884 book Boss Book by G.W. Peck and in the 1904 Boston Herald, respectively. Buttons and cobwebs were presumably chosen for their lack of obvious value, but the expressions failed to catch on as they lacked the perky alliteration of dollars to donuts. This phrase is, of course, an American phrase, is occasionally spelled as dollars to donuts, which blah, 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 blah. Oh, I see. They're talking about the different spellings of the word donut.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, let's fix those other phrases.
Yeah.
Dollars to dust.
Yeah, dollars to dust.
That works.
Yep. Yeah.
Dollars to damn spiderweb. You just got to get the D in there. I keep thinking dollars to dumb fucks, which I quite like.
Dollars to dumb fucks.
I bet you dollars to dumb fucks. You're wrong.
We're not 100% sure exactly where it originated, but we know it did not originate with an actual bet.
What? Is going on.
You can't know that.
That's so funny.
The phrase appears to, they're saying, appears to have originated in the mid-19th century USA. The earliest citation that can be found is in the Daily Nevada State Journal in February 1876. Not the middle of the 19th century,
no,
but whatever.
Not even close.
Quite towards the end of the 19th century, if anything.
Yeah.
So here is the line. So even in the... What?
Yeah.
Where? Hang on. I'm trying to find the...
Yeah.
Whenever you hear resonant dollars to nana. Oh, okay. So here is the here is the actual
Please.
Earliest...
Okay, yeah. Right. Let's go.
Whenever you hear any resident of a community attempting to decry the local paper, presumably meaning themselves, it's dollars to donuts that such a person is either mad at the editor or is owing the office for subscription or advertising.
What a bitter thing to put in your newspaper.
It does not crop up again in print until some years later.
That's
apart
so
from the
baffling.
Citation in a March edition of the Nevada State Journal, which suggests that the unnamed author of those pieces either coined the term himself, once again, come on.
Yeah, no. Gender. Themselves, come on.
Or appropriated some street slang that they heard.
That's great. Here's what I suspect happens.
Yeah.
Okay. The Nevada, did you say?
Nevada State Journal.
The Nevada State Journal, somebody, the author of that piece where they're like, if anybody hates this paper, they're just poor or angry. They use the phrase dollars to donuts because they like it.
Yep, and they can afford donuts.
Exactly, and they feel like donuts are as worthless as cobwebs.
They heard someone say it, a youth, and they were like, oh yeah.
But, well, see, my theory is that they came up with it and then it got into public slang. And then people started writing using it several years later, and then it took off. It's still a very baffling phrase, dollars to donuts. I feel like you've learned more, Adam.
I'm just reading a Today I Learned page on dollars. Another friend of the show.
Yeah.
It's just, sorry, beginning with the... Oh, see, we've got an earlier expression here.
Hey!
They've seen the first, it's 1861, closer to the middle of the 19th century.
Sure.
That checks.
When it was used to describe how little a person consumed.
Oh.
Her brother James, who had never talked anything but nonsense when he could help it, declared she ate nothing but a whole of a... Oh, wait.
A donut hole.
Sorry, this is donut hole. Well, that's not interesting. This isn't even about dollars to donut. This is the first time donut holes are referenced.
Well, that opens a broader question of when did the donut get the hole? Or did the donut begin holeless?
This is just about spelling of donut.
Maybe this... I assume that next article is more about... They made rings, but they were considered rings before they were considered something with a hole in it. Like all of a sudden one day is like, hey, what's this hole in my donut? And everyone's like, oh my God.
That's a good point. It is a hole.
Like when we talk about rings in our fingers and necklaces, we don't say they've got holes in them.
Yeah, you don't say the ring hole.
So I've read a little further.
I mean, we should.
In the 1840s, there was an expression called dollars to dimes.
Okay.
And there are
that
two
makes
other
more sense.
Yeah.
There are two other similar expressions that also existed in the 1880s. Dollars to dumplings.
Dollars to dumplings.
That's
is
so cute.
Great.
I
yeah.
love the word dumpling.
Here we see dollars to buttons again.
Okay.
A couple of decades later, dollars to cobwebs popped up, but none of these have the staying power of dollars to donuts. In all cases, the latter thing.
Well, yeah. Dollars to donuts is the most fun to say.
It is.
I bet
dollars
you dollars to
dumplings,
donuts.
Though, is good.
I bet you dollars to dumplings.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah. But see, 1840s or 1880s, whenever this is being said, dollars. How many people then knew about a dumpling?
That's true.
You did not typically journey out of your
cultural
zone.
Yeah. But donuts. Mm. Well, here's a question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Man in the box, research king.
Yeah.
When was the donut invented?
That was in the Today I Learned. So, if they were describing at the beginning, I realized what they were saying. They were talking about the first time donut was ever mentioned because they're like, when did donuts come to the United States?
Yeah, sure.
It is a, where is it?
Mm.
It's a Dutch thing. Which
okay.
Is obvious.
No, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
The Dutch do love their baked
goods.
Hey, baked goods. Yeah. Don't know if a donut counts as a baked good.
Sure.
It's fried.
Yeah, it's really not baked, but whatevs, yeah.
So the word donut is American in origin.
Okay.
So there was presumably the good existed before America, but it was brought to America, then got
some
the
kind
word
of,
donut.
Maybe they just called it an iced ring or a flavor circle. It is. I bet you dollars to flavor circles.
You will be shocked to hear this, but it is presumed to have been a combination of the words dough and nuts.
Fuck
oh
up.
Oh my God.
Hey, www.shutthefuckup.com.
Why would you write that?
What? Yeah, what kind of fool, what kind of absolute moron writes something
that,
like that?
That person could have taken a second and be like, I'm just going to imagine a nice day, and it would have been the best use of their time.
I'm going to take a brief moment to have a nana nap, and that would have been worth it more than this.
May I please? The word donut first appears in a print in Washington Irving's 1809 Knickerbocker's History of New York.
Part of the history.
How were people not just piercing themselves laughing, living 40 to 50 years ago?
So here's the quote. Sometimes the table was graced with immense apple pies or saucers full of preserved peaches and pears, but it was always sure to boast an enormous dish of balls of sweetened dough.
That is
an exact quote. Sure to boast an enormous dish of balls of sweetened dough, comma, fried in hog's fat, comma, and cold donuts, comma, or oikoex. Let me spell it. OLYKOEKS - a delicious kind of cake, comma, at present scarce known in this city, comma, except in genuine Dutch families, full stop.
Wow.
Entire quote is one sentence.
Can I get that just so I got the name? OLYKOREKS?
KOEKS.
K-O-E-K... Oh, my God.
Yep.
O-L-Y-K-O-E-K-S.
One word.
Ollycokes. Ollycoaks?
Ollycoaks? I'm not sure.
Gosh.
Hang on.
Ollycokers?
Ollycooks.
Huh?
Ollycooks.
Ollycooks. Oh, that sounds kind of Dutch. Ollycooks. Wow. Hey, that means the hole wasn't there to begin with.
Yes, so the holes in donuts were
this
first...
history lesson. Are we going to find out about dollars next?
What? Hang on.
Oh, it does go into
hang
dollars
on.
As well.
Yeah.
Sorry, they started out with no hole.
Yes.
And people named them after nuts.
See.
Yes.
We don't know if they started out without a hole.
Oh.
It's just not mentioned.
They said balls of dough and a ball is... Hang on, no, I'm thinking of a different nut. Oh my God, did the nut change? Nut as in like a peanut or a walnut or whatever. Yeah. Oh, like a little nut of dough. That makes sense. And then we've grown up being like, oh, the nut like a screw goes into.
See, I've never made that association with a donut and the nut a screw goes into.
That's very true, though.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Has it changed? They're like, oh, it's like a little nut made of dough because they said balls and you wouldn't say ball. A ball can't have a hole in it because it's a sphere.
Yeah, so you
wouldn't know about it.
Yeah,
it's a secret hole.
When do we have any idea when the hole was introduced?
So, the holes in donuts were first noted in print in 1861, which is a link that I will click on, but I'll continue here.
Learn about 1861. We need the historical context.
I'm sorry. I think this website, I think it's a broken link. Yeah. Hugedomains.com has this listed for sale right now. So this link doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
But when it was used to describe how little a person consumed.
Okay.
Her brother James, who never talked anything but nonsense when he could help it, declared she ate nothing but the whole of a donut.
Okay. Mm. So at some point in the interim then, can we get...
But at some point in the interim, it became common.
Yeah,
it became understood. That's a reference.
I want to know the disparity between years. So can we get
So it's 1809 when they're first mentioned in Knickerbocker's History of New York.
Right.
Okay.
And then it's 1861 when they were common enough that you could make a reference.
That's a massive difference
that's
in
like
time.
That's like 50 years.
Yeah,
they went from balls... With no hole to it's hole.
To hold I believe, balls.
I believe specifically 52 years.
52 years.
But that's a generation.
That's true.
That's a generation. That's a generation for the Dutch to come over to have kids and for those kids to mingle.
Here's a question for you. What benefit... does removing the core of a donut provide? Is it a depression thing? So during a depression or something like that, you remove some because it's less dough ultimately.
Well,
so
see,
No, please go on.
See, here's what I guess on that. So it's coming to a new country, selling your goods and trying to make it marketable because, of course, you want to make money and you want to be doing what you already made.
Absolutely.
More surface area for fry.
Maybe.
That's true. That's clever.
More of it is fried at that stage.
So it is often claimed that the whole donut was invented just shortly before this in 1847 by one Captain Hanson Gregory.
Another
Today I Learned article here. So the answer is because bakers make them that way. In truth, nobody knows for sure why people started putting holes in fried cakes. There are some outlandish tales, such as that from Captain Hanson Gregory, who claimed to have invented the hole donut in 1847 at the age of 16. There is even a plaque in Rockport, Maine.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Near the Clam Cove.
Wow.
That states, and I quote, "In commemoration, this is the birthplace of Captain Hanson Gregory, who first invented the hole in the donut in 1847, erected by his friends on November 2nd, 1947. 100 years later.
You are not friends.
You're not friends.
If it's 100 years later, you barely know him. He's an old man.
So do you want to hear the story of how he invented it?
Yes, I would love to.
Sorry,
yes.
Tell me the story about how he invented not a thing.
So this is as he would tell it.
Sure.
Now, in them days...
I'm already in love.
I love this man.
We used to cut the donuts into diamond shapes and also into long strips, bent in half and then twisted. I don't know why we called them donuts then. They was just fried cakes and twisters.
Hang on, fried cakes. That's like those donuts that you guys get, the dog dick donuts.
Yes,
that's
the dog dick donuts. Yep,
there are donuts near us that are in the shape of a dog's penis, unintentionally, but that's what they...
Well, two dogs' penises twisted together.
Yeah,
it's actually not the shape of a dog's
penis. I would like to say it's not. It's just long and it's two bits of donut twisted together.
Trust me, listeners, it's dog penis-y.
See, I'm back on Jackson immediately. Mm. It's like two strips together that make a dog's penis.
Yeah. Not the general shape.
Yeah.
If you ignore the texture
and the
twist.
No, it is the general shape.
That's what I mean, but it's not the twisting together. A dog's penis is not two things twisted together, but it's the not, general size and shape of a dog's penis.
It's not one of those...
That's the size of it.
It's not the size of a dog. Well, a big dog, maybe.
Maybe big.
I don't
dog.
Really know.
Dogs get pretty big.
Yeah, that could be a dog's penis size.
And now a word from our sponsors. Also, hey, did you know there's an insane amount of old and unknown and weird and fucked cartoons that you do not know about? I know! Our friend Mia is one of the funniest people I know, and she has a lot to teach you in her hilarious show, Cynical Cartoons. Go to sanspantsradio.com and search Cynical Cartoons to find your new purpose in life.
But yes, twisters presumably are what we know now in the modern age as dog dick donut.
Well, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
People stopped telling stories properly when they stopped adding shit like, well, sir.
They used to fry all right around the edges, but when you had the edges done, the insides was all raw and dough.
I love this, man.
And the twisters used to sop up all the grease just where they bent, and they were tough on the digestion. Well, I says to myself...
Yes!
Why wouldn't a space inside solve the difficulty? I thought at first I'd take one of the strips and roll it around. Then I got inspiration. A great inspiration! I took the cover of the ship's tin pepper box and I cut into the middle of that donut the first hole ever seen by mortal eyes.
Holy fucking shit.
Wait. So instead of making a ring of dough, he took a donut and he cut a hole in it.
Yep. Wow. But was his thinking perhaps that if I put the hole in the middle, then the middle won't... No, I don't know.
There's only one more sentence, but it gets so much better.
Okay.
Well, sir, them donuts was just the finest I ever tasted. No more indigestion. No more greasy sinkers. But just well done, fried through donuts.
Okay, that man believes he invented that.
Yeah, whether or not it's true.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. That's what he died knowing. He died asking his friends to do that plaque.
Oh holy God. Fucking shit.
He asked his friends to do that plaque, and then 100 years later, his friends as kids presumably did that plaque.
Was it the years after he invented it? How many years after the invention of the donut?
He invented it, he claims to have invented it at the age of 16 in 1847.
Okay. And 100 years later, the plot goes up.
Yeah. By his friends for some reason. Yeah. So he would have been 116 if he lived to the time the plot was erected in 1947 by his friends.
Wow. Huh. Maybe they put it up in commemoration of his death. What if someone was friends with an old man? Look, it's possible,
yeah.
But it's strange.
What if the peak of his life, well, what if? The peak of his life was at 16, where he said, well, sir, and cut a hole in dough. What does he do with that part of it?
That's incredible.
That's good.
Anyway, just use your finger, it's dough. Anyway.
You have to get the ship's lid or whatever.
Yeah, he then claims, because he was a sailor, he managed to teach the hole to a lot of people throughout the world.
The hole.
Here's
how you teach it. Put a hole in it. Oh,
hey, just poke your finger through it and pull it a bit.
Yeah, lesson
learned.
You don't
need to cut dough out of... Look, I know that was the first time, and every time you do something for the first time, it's never good. Yeah, I get that.
That was the prototype donut.
Donut with hole. What happens when you just build the hole into it?
What I can't stop thinking about is what an incredible thing. So when you're inventing a food, okay, you think about all the food you have already and you create something new. You think, oh, I can bake. So what if I changed this baking process and I made this?
Yeah.
Nobody is like, what if I took less out of this food to create a new food? Nobody's like looking at a roast chicken and being like, if I cored the middle of this, I've made a new kind of food.
Oh, actually, no.
Yeah.
I'm still convinced, even with the explanation that it's all surface area, baby. And they did that thing where they made that brownie pan where they put lines jutting in so the entire brownie was at least two edges at all times.
Oh, that's right.
This article posits another very interesting theory.
Okay.
Well, it is also stating that a lot of cooks think that they don't know whether or not Captain Gregory invented it, but the idea to get rid of the doughy center is a lot of people are like, well, that your idea of more surface area is a very popular one. But also, and I quite like this theory, that At the same time, donuts were becoming popular. Bagels became popular.
Oh.
And bagels were displayed on like little stands with dowels in them that you could just hook the bagels onto. And that also saved a lot of space when they were being displayed.
Yeah.
And so this article posits that maybe because you can do the same thing with a donut, they basically just to copy the bagel's popularity and the idea of saving
but
space like
that. That raises a brand new question. Which is, why does the bagel have a hole in it? Was the bagel designed to be able to hook onto the dowel? Or were they like, our bagel has a hole in it, let's find a good way to display it?
Because bagels, whenever you have bagels with something in them,
yeah.
You're always like, well, there's just a part where my sandwich is unsafe.
Yeah,
as soon as you break the barrier. Also, we've all eaten donuts off of dowels before.
When did we do that?
New Year's.
That's right, we did too.
They had a whole wall of dowel donuts and it was like, what a cool way. I didn't realize it was old.
Yeah.
Apparently that is maybe why they have the holes. It says here the bagels have to cook for, it's like how you, the way the bread is supposed to be in a bagel.
Okay.
Having the hole helps them make the bread.
Yeah. To have the right texture, I guess.
Yes, basically. So it makes it crispier as well on the outside.
Surface area.
Yeah. I think I would pause. It that if you have your
and there is an intrinsic attraction to the ring shape. Sorry,
well, we've answered the question. The reason the donut has a hole in is because of the intrinsic attraction to rings we all have.
God.
Is it to rings or holes?
That's a good question.
Is it the presence of a ring or the absence of thing?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was facts, I guess. So, who wants to do movies?
Okay, I'm gonna do. Was that no? That was history.
Yeah, that felt more like history than facts.
It did feel more like history. You're absolutely right.
Okay, donut facts. Donut King in Australia do not call their donuts donuts. They call them iced rings.
Yeah, what? I always wonder why that is. I think I brought it up when we've been at Donut King because it's something that's always on my mind. They are called Donut King, yet everything in the display. Is they fear the word donut, and I do not understand why.
It has to be something to do with, like, legally. If they call it this, then they can do that or something like that. My sister used to work at a Donut King, and her stories about it make me never want to eat a Donut King.
Hey,
never tell us. We love Donut King.
There's some pretty rough stories that she told me. Wow. Wow, there is not a lot of oversight, I guess, at Donut King.
But I get that. I look at Donut King and I don't think I'm going to get a meal. The donuts I eat from Donut King, I assume, have been there for days. Mm. I know that's months, whatever.
No, not even that.
All right.
How they're stored and wow.
I like to imagine they're all stored in a big tub somewhere.
In the bin out back.
We throw them out and then in the morning we empty the bin back into the display.
Fuck, I want a Donut King donut now.
Yeah, me too. I would very much like a donut.
I could froth an ice ring.
Yeah.
Here's a fact from mentalfloss.com. Mm. There are 10 people in America.
Oh my
living.
God. Do they know about each other? Sorry, come on.
With the last name Donut. Either spelling. But
that's so good. Isn't there a website you can go to where you can find out? Yes?
13 people have the first name Donut.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, we can only hope that one of those people that has the first name Donut is also one of those people who has the last name Donut. Oh,
or they get married at least.
Donut,
oh,
Donut.
Wait, you don't give your kids your name. Unless you're Italian, I guess. Hey, so... Another story that I can tell about my sister's time at Donut King. Donut King does cakes as well, birthday cakes. And so the cake would have the number in it. It's just two big numbers that are stuck into. No, sorry, that's it. They did two different cakes that were, it was for a 21st birthday
party. Yep.
And it's a big cake 2 and a big cake 1.
Oh, yeah? I had those for my birthday from the ages of like 10 to 17.
Great.
I've never had one.
I will make one for you.
Are they made out of ice cream?
No,
I only like ice cream cakes. No, regular cakes are fine. Anyway.
I'll eat your cake.
My sister dealt with a complaint once where a woman and her 21-year-old son came back with the cake and the woman was furious and she said, "You didn't make me number 21." And my sister was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. What did we make you?" And she opens it up and it said 12.
Oh, that's good.
But it's on two separate boards. And my sister was like, "Do you not understand that you could just, and the woman was having none of it.
Wow.
The woman wanted a new cake.
Wow.
What?
Yep.
Presumably,
that's insane.
Presumably that woman had not considered it. And she gets there and Adam's sister is like, hey, this is an option. And she's like, I am the world's biggest idiot. And I am the world's proudest idiot. And if I admit defeat here, I will never, I will die.
That's got to be it. That's on the spot.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Nobody her son apparently hated it. Her son the entire time was mouthing, I'm sorry to
my sister. That is so good. God.
I love that duality of seeing a younger person with an older person. Oh, it's usually just this, like the two generational gaps of being a parent and a child and just having the child like trying not to die, being like, I've had to work one of these jobs. Holy shit,
I get it. I'm so sorry.
Have you ever worked at a restaurant, Jack?
No. I've worked at a general store and that's it.
I don't know if this is at the general store as well. Cass, I know you for a little while worked at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at a restaurant, understood there's like a dynamic in every family group that comes in where there's, especially if it's multiple families celebrating a party or something like that, there's always an adult male who makes jokes where the jokes are like impossible tasks that they ask of you. And then there is always another adult male at every single one that I ever served who is always apologetic and says not to worry about it. For some reason, that happens in every family party.
What? Give me an example.
All right, so...
You must have been in big family parties you dealt with.
At least two families coming together, it always happened for me. I would go there, I'd be taking orders, and then... The adult male who was always like the impossible order would always be or like an impossible task or something like that would always be like if they're ordering pizza they're like and with the pizzas he kind of says it in a joking way but it's like you know how there's that like type of male comedy where it's like over aggressive comedy.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I kind of get it. So is it the kind of thing where he's like, a million pizzas, mate, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, we're just going to be ordering 100,000 pizzas or something like that.
Do you come with the pizza?
Yeah.
Or something like, as a male waiter, I never got that.
Oh, I only had someone. I was cleaning a table once, and someone was like, "Oh, you come do that in my house?" And I was like, I really want to go home, dude.
I have to be polite to you.
Do you want to leave? Then I can go home.
I don't know what molds that kind of annoying older man.
It's crazy.
I know that kind
dad
of
succession. They're dad jokes.
It's a type of dad joke.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's dad joke and then the dad being like, can I use these dad jokes in the outside world? It's the same kind of thing. I've had this working at places before where the older man will come in. Maybe he's like my boss or he's like a higher up and he'll be like, I'll be like stacking a shelf and he'll be like, hey, work harder. And I'll look at him like, am I not working hard enough? And then he'll be like, and he'll go upstairs and I'll be like, that wasn't a joke. Nothing about that is a joke at all. That's just like...
The joke is how aggressive he is being. That's
man
insanity.
Has never really done a joke in his life. He's actually never told a joke. But that's the kind of thing someone says to you that you can only react with laughter.
Yeah.
So it's a terrible feedback loop
where
you're not going to be like, I don't find that funny. You're going to be like, ha-ha, because like you can be fucked dealing with it. And so he's like, I made a good joke.
That was funny. When I asked that waiter to... if she could come and clean my house and she laughed, that was comedy.
That was joke.
I know now.
If I do that again, I've been molded by this interaction. Every joke I tell like that is always a winner. That's why if somebody does that to you, you say, that wasn't funny, and upend their drink.
And upend their drink.
You'll lose your job, but you'll gain someone who is now mad at you.
Exactly. Please. No. Please go on.
Oh, Harry. Yeah, no, please. Facts and then, of course, movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, there's a very good donut fact I read that I did want to share.
Yes.
Again, from Mental Floss. There is a place called Voodoo Donut in Portland in the US, and they were selling medicinal donuts for a while. And
wow.
They put like Pepto-Bismol and Tums as sprinklings.
What?
They were like, hey, if you've got a hangover, eat these donuts.
Wow.
They got stuffed.
Yeah, hey, fair.
Oh, what? Some of them had NyQuil.
Oh my God. You cannot put medicine on your donuts.
Well, they did.
Fuck. I wanted
that
to talk
sounds
about
like a lawsuit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are they still going?
It said they stopped, didn't it?
No, but I mean, it said that they're still going as a donut place.
I think so. Look, that is it crazy. Said that they used to sell this.
Yeah.
Fuck. Imagine someone was like, hey, welcome to my Italian restaurant. Would you like some Panadol spaghetti?
We get the Panadol, we put it in the spaghetti machine. We make sure we get
We get dissolvable Panadol and it dissolves in the pasta sauce. It's good for your headache. Mamma mia. I wanted to talk about the film Van Wilder. Now, I've never seen this film. This feels like one of those fake movies. Yeah, you're seeing what's on the computer screen.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
Yeah, I've not seen Van Wilder.
Movie. Van Wilder was one of those movies that I saw always at Blockbuster Video.
Yeah.
And it was like part of that era of like the teen wacky sex romp kind of.
And it was like, it was the modern sexism movie where it ended up being enough of a rom-com to sort of be like, this is fine.
Yeah, but it was not.
Oh, what, no.
What is that movie about? I've only heard of it.
I don't know what it's about, but I do know that there's a scene where to get back at some frat boys, Van Wilder and his friends inject dog semen into eclairs and then feed them to the frat boys who then vomit up. Vomit up the dog semen.
That's pretty
that was the kind of level, bad. I guess, of comedy that you would get in a film like Van Wilder. Let me get the plot of Van Wilder up for you.
Have you ever seen the intro to Meatballs 4?
No, what? I can't imagine it's what? Good. So there Meatballs was 1 is horrible, so how much worse could it get?
In the 80s, there was a series of movies cast called Meatballs. And
the assumption that I'd seen up to 4. Just to ask that as a normal question.
You might have seen the intro to 4 because it's very famously horrendous. It's a wacky comedy where women are objects.
Whoa!
Wacky ass!
And the joke at the beginning of Meatballs 4 is that it's at, a summer camp, and there's the female showers, and so many boys are perving on the females in their shower that... And get this, there's so many of them, they knock over the shower, and then the women are running about the camp nude. Whoa!
Wacky!
Oh,
no. It's 2003!
Oh, gosh.
Was that when Meatballs 4 came out?
No, but, Meatballs 4 was probably in the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was the 80s. I was about to be like, 2003, God, we should have known better.
Well, Van Wilder came out in 2002, and I think it's just they need to raise money and do various schemes is basically the plot of Van Wilder. It's basically the plot of any movie like this.
Mm.
Yeah, this was a National Lampoon's as well. You know, like a National Lampoon's X? It was a National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I've never heard of this.
You don't know like a National Lampoon?
I know the National Lampoon.
Well,
they would
occasionally just be like, it's National Lampoon's something. We're funding this movie or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Was the sequel to Van Wilder 40 Days and Nights? National Lampoon's Van Wilder 2. Yeah. But do you remember these kinds of movies that like... But I mean, like...
It's like a genre away from stoner comedy somehow.
Yeah.
It's close, but...
It's jock comedy.
Yes.
Yes, there was Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj, the 2006
cool.
sequel.
That sounds like it won't be racist.
I think it very much is. Mm. He's horny and foreign, I think is the joke.
Good.
Well, hey, I'm glad that largely these movies have died, as far as I can tell.
Have they, or do we just not know about them anymore? Hang on, wait. Let's try and remember back, because I feel like if these movies still exist, they exist in the Kevin James? Adam Sandler, and what's his buddy from Mall Cop?
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, that movie genre.
Well, is this a claim that is back upable? Those movies are for the people that watched Van Wilder as teenagers who are now adults. Do you know what I mean? You remember we watched Father of the Year with David Spade?
Yeah, I just can't imagine that movie is for anyone.
What I think is crazy about David Spade, who, look.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You've Googled like Adam Sandler and Kevin Smith, and one of the first results is, you know how Google suggests questions?
Yeah.
What happened to Kevin Smith?
That is a great question. Nobody knows.
Not where is he gone or...
What happened to him? We just want to know.
Not what is he doing. Yeah. What happened to him?
Wait, maybe we don't mean Kevin Smith.
No, I don't think you mean Kevin Smith
Kevin Smith is the director?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin James?
James?
I always get them confused.
Is it Kevin anything? Yes, it's Kevin James.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Kevin James, Paul Blart,
King of Queen, of King of Queens fame, Kevin James.
Wait. Let me double check that.
Yeah, figure it out.
Back's getting tight.
Yeah.
Sitting here in traffic, the green road rich night. I don't care because all I want to do is cash my check and drive right home to you. Because baby, all my life I will be driving home to you. Yeah, it checks out.
Did you know that Kevin James's first appearance was in Hitch?
His first appearance.
Yeah, I do remember him.
It was his debut.
He was the guy getting hitched.
Yeah. What? That's amazing.
What? His first appearance anywhere?
Well, he had a cameo on 51st Dates, and then his starring film debut was in Hitch.
Wow, really?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems wrong, but...
He's timeless.
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember an earlier movie with him.
Can I give, before we say goodbye, one last Kevin James fact?
Yes, please.
Okay, so there is an episode
This was Kevin James' episode.
Yeah, that's right. This was the James cast, cast.
So
there is an episode of King of Queens
where
Kevin James meets up with Raymond and his wife.
Okay. Wonderful show, everyone.
It's a crossover. And it is discovered that Kevin James and everybody loves Raymond wife.
Ray Romano.
What's her name?
Oh, Ray Romano's wife.
What's her name?
Deborah.
Of course, Deborah. They went to high school together. But Kevin James is the Kevin James of King of Queens.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a crossover episode. And then there is an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where he goes camping with Kevin James. No, sorry, an episode of King of Queens where he goes camping with Ray Romano. But Ray Romano is playing a different character but keeps dropping all these references to Everybody Loves Raymond. And I don't know why they didn't keep the continuity that they existed in the same universe.
That is weird.
But because this episode happened later.
Do you know what I reckon? Actually, do you know what I reckon? Mm? I reckon they didn't give a shit.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Cass.
I've been Zoe Bellotta.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.